Hannah, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak to you. Tell us a bit about yourself, where you come from, and just who you are.
Well, thanks for inviting me for this interview. It's an honor. My
name is Hannah Rudin. I am half Swedish, half Kuwaiti. So I was born in Kuwait and then raised by my mom with my brother in northern Sweden. I've always loved animals and living in a...
quote unquote, rescued my first guinea pig when I was 9 years old. I saw him in a pet store and he was incredibly scared. And then, yeah, ended up picking him because he just wasn't doing great there. Not that I was looking at getting a guinea pig at the time. I actually wanted gerbils, but then ended up with a guinea pig and he was the sweetest little thing. So grew up with that. We had a family dog, horses, you know, I went to the stables every day. So yeah, always been around animals and always fought them out. I left Sweden a year after high school. I bought a one-way ticket to India and traveled around the world. I saved up, you know, money, worked, and then worked along the way as well in different countries. And then, yeah, I lived in Kuwait for a while as an adult because I never really, you know, I spent time there, but I never lived there following, you know, when I was like 3 or 4. So then... there was the first weekend that I was there. I was meant to study full-time. That's what I thought. As it turned out, it wasn't studying full-time. I wanted to learn Arabic. And then I started looking at volunteering opportunities because I had always wanted to volunteer. In Sweden, it's not very common. The social systems there are quite strong. So I saw a volunteering opportunity that I found a couple of animal shelters. I contacted one and there was no response. And I contacted the other one. And they were like, yeah, sure, you can come out this Friday. So I did, and yeah, that was my, I like to say that I slipped into animal welfare on a peel of banana. So that was kind of my start there. Then I lived in the U.S. for a few years, and then I moved here about 6.5 years ago now, lucky to be where I am.
Yeah, yeah. Hannah, who is the main inspiration behind your work, and what drives you every day to achieve what you set out to do?
That's a great question. I think the one that I really look up to is my first leader in animal welfare. She was the one who, you know, at that time I was volunteering in Kuwait at the animal shelter. I had applied to start university. I had bought my ticket to go back to Sweden. And then the night before I left, she called me and said, hey, Hannah, don't you want to work with us? We really want to keep you on the team. She's like, I don't know how we're going to afford you. I don't know what we're going to have you do, but we know we want to keep you here. So I essentially ended up going back to Sweden because I obviously had a ticket the next day. But then after a month, came back to Kuwait. And she taught me so much. Her name is Aisha. She's half Kuwaiti, half American. So she trained a lot in the U.S. and worked with some really good animal welfare leader. So she really, you know, I still call her for input here and there where I go like, you know, I don't know how to think about this one thing or the topic or the matter. And I think it's really important. You know, I don't know everything and I can still learn plenty from others, but she's a strong leader, has very big head on her shoulder, incredibly intelligent. So I've learned a lot from her. I always say that I was incredibly lucky to have her as my first mentor, because I think that really set me up to have incredibly high standards for animal welfare, more sheltering. And yeah, that definitely motivates me to continue to do the best that we can by the animals in our care. And I think that's something that I always talk to about, you know, with our team here. We need to do the best that we can by the animals that we are trusted to care for and continue to stay up with best practices and continue to improve, because it's not stagnant. It's not, we've done this, you know, one way for 10 years, so we need to do it continuously like this. You know, things change all the time. And I think it's really our responsibility to continue to drive for excellence and continue to improve what we're doing. And of course, we're not perfect, but I think that's a part of life.
Yeah. Hannah, what is your highest achievement to date? And how would you plan on topping that in the future?
My highest achievement to date? That's such an interesting question.
I don't know if there's any one particular thing that stands out, because I think we've done quite a lot over the last 6+ years. I think it's kind of micro achievements with little things that we've been able to do. Anything from like, you know, capacity building, really working with the branches, bringing them all in under the umbrella of SPCA Namibia. we put manuals in place. We've automated, you know, applications. We've really driven up our Facebook following and our social media presence to be more approachable. And, you know, there are things we're still working on. We've done a lot of renovations. We launched several different projects, so like a sponsorship program, Dixie's Fund, which is a medical fund restricted to, well, it's a fund restricted to extraordinary and ordinary medical treatments for the animals in our care. So if anyone donates to that, that goes strictly to medical care. We've done a lot of grant application. We launched the Working Animal Welfare Project, where we go out to rural communities in Namibia where there are no veterinarians and often very little knowledge or expertise and experience with like basic wound treatment and things like that, or preventative measures. And that's primarily with donkeys, horses, and mules, which is often in a group of animals that are overseen, especially like the donkeys and the mules, because they're working, they have a very specific purpose. But incredibly important to people who depend on them for their livelihood or transportation. So those are just like a few things that I can see coming up on my mind. So I think it's very difficult to say like the one biggest achievement. I think it's all kind of micro achievements. And I think that's a part of it as well. Like when you look at something and you want to continue to improve your programs, every part deserves attention, if that makes sense.
Yeah. What are some of the major hurdles you have faced in your role?
Oh, yeah, I often say that my professional title should be, professional fire extinguisher. Because I think when you're in a leadership position, things, once they reach you sometimes, it's because they've escalated and you need to step in and resolve the situation. So I think it's little things like that. And I mean, I think one of the biggest hurdles is really lack of resources. I mean, we always said there's no shortage of dreams within the keep here. I mean, we have incredibly dedicated individuals for the SPCA keep, not just here in Windhoek, but all around Namibia. Our committee as well are incredibly professional, have good heads on their shoulders, areas of expertise that really benefit the SPCA. So I think it's not being able to utilize all of these things to the maximum potential simply because we don't have resources, whether it be human resources and resources and enough people to execute certain things and really carry out some of these dreams that we have, or even just always struggling to make sure that we have, you know, can make ends meet. So much of our attention goes to the operational activities of the SPCA, because at any given time, we have 250 to 400 animals in our care. On most years, we take in about 4,000 animals here in Windhoek. So there's so much of our activities that go into just taking care of the animals, booking them in, booking them out, all of these things. So I think, you know, that is probably one of the biggest hurdles, just resources.
Hannah, then just the last question. Where to from here? As I understand, you are leaving the SPCA.
Yeah, so we don't know yet. We know that we'll leave here before end of April. But for me, it was incredibly important to make sure that there's a proper handover and that the SPCA can find a really good, competent person to take over the reins, because I know there's someone out there. And, you know, I always say, like, no one person is bigger than an organization. And the purpose for all of us, as we're in a leadership position, we should all be replaceable. I definitely see myself as replaceable. I think the biggest thing for me going out as well is just my biggest hope is that I was able to make a positive impact. But I think there's probably someone out there that can do more and better. And that's a natural part of life. Change is good. And I will always support the SPCA. You know, its success is incredibly important to me. And I'll definitely make sure there's a smooth transition, proper handover, introduction to the people that are, you know, partners and things like that are really important to the SPCA for the SPCA's success and to set the new person up for success. So
yeah, I think there's something positive that will definitely come out of this for all parties.
Hannah, thank you so much for your time. It was lovely talking to you.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a lovely, lovely chat.